off the intraweb things.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest coffee cake of all time. So
I'm sure it was. Was there cinnamon in it?
Sure was, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you make a strong argument if there's cinnamon in it.
Yeah. And you even layer it. Like, it's got the halfway batter, sugar and cinnamon,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
batter, yeah. and then sugar and cinnamon.
But all no sour cream.
No, there's no sour cream in it.
Okay,
it was a very
so
simple
that,
recipe.
That's the only difference. Well, sour cream's pretty, yeah, that's pretty high-level stuff, sour cream.
Yeah.
This sounds like an episode of Seinfeld if they hit their head before they wrote it.
I hope I'm not George. I'm George, aren't I?
Hello and welcome to episode 538 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
I ask you every week, and I'm interested every week, Adam. What is going on in Vancouver?
It was really nice, and now it's just raining.
That's the story of Vancouver.
So we had 10 days. Yeah, 10 days of glorious sunshine. It was too warm to be April. It was
right.
it was shorts and sunshine. And I mean, we've been at the ball field a lot. So I've got the neck tan, and so does my kid. And
you oh, know, no.
just, yeah, it's just been like gorgeousness. And
you
got
to go tarps. There's no spectators there, right?
No, there's no spectators.
Tarps off, buddy. You get
no
neck tan. No neck. Who do you have to impress? And B, that way you get that all over tan.
Yeah. No.
I'm not talking wreck beach. I'm talking just tarps off.
Okay. So no, that's what's happening here. Now it's, you know, Vancouver, and it's so much colder.
Wax your back first,
and raining.
Though. Wax your back
yeah,
first.
Just in case that there's some paparazzi, right?
I just want to get an even tan over there.
Okay. All right.
I'm not above doing that myself.
So what's new with you?
I'm in a pretty good mood, buddy.
Okay, well, there's something new.
No, I'm usually in a pretty good mood. I admit it was a big day Friday. I got my first shot.
Okay.
Yeah, we're off and rolling.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so very simple yet detailed process. Because you have shot number one, right?
I have shot number one. Then I'll wait 6 years for shot number two.
Right. Yeah. Mine is a six week interval here.
Okay, 42
days. Yep.
Yeah.
They get and how it works is like you get both your appointments at the same time. They give them here. It's A and B. And
then, okay. Yeah.
To have it dialed in, and anyways, yeah. So that you they're kind of opening it up, and it's I got very lucky, to be perfectly honest with you, but and then managed to book an online appointment, which was like, you know, refreshing the browser every 15 minutes for a full day, right? Until I finally got through, and yeah, made it happen, and then it was right away. It was like on Wednesday. I was refreshing, and they said, "Come in Friday. I'll be there." You know, and so went down to the basketball court there, the basketball arena where we train in the off season. Like our baseball team, like throws and hits and stuff in there.
Okay.
So it's kind of strange they've converted it. They obviously didn't do it this year because it was converted into the Impfzentrum, the vaccine center.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all, everything's run out of these centers right now. And so they basically built like an entire sort of building within the building. It's kind of crazy what they've thrown up. Like they put laminate floor across the entire arena, like brand new laminate floor. So that you're not using the arena floor to just walk on and et cetera.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's bizarre to me to be in there, like in going through the maze of his walls and like, you know, offices, et cetera, all thrown up, like little pony walls thrown up. I'm not sure if that's the right term for it or not. But
I think ponies would be offended.
Yeah, well, could be. Anyways, so yeah, I went through all that and yeah, got shot number one. And so I noticed that like when I was leaving, I like it was very nice and sunny here too. We've had the up until a few days ago, we've had Arctic temperatures. Like it's been like really crazy, like -3-4 overnight. You know, waking up and coming up in the morning, it's like maybe it's 1 degree, and that's like a few days ago. And so it was pretty miserable. And then this happens, warm weather. I'm out there in my t-shirt and whatnot, and walk out after getting a shot. And I gotta tell you, I felt awesome.
Okay.
How did you feel after yours?
I felt fine. I don't think I would have described it as awesome, but fine, yeah.
Okay, well, I like people more than you, I suppose.
I guess so, yeah.
See, for me, it wasn't about myself. It wasn't like I was like, oh my God, I'm invincible now. I'm going to try to fly. It was, but for me, it was like sort of a moment of optimism for society. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not that I got it. Like, okay, woohoo, everyone breathe a sigh of relief. Alan got it. It's fine now. It's just the fact that, like, on a personal note, I'm like, okay, I can sort of, you know, like, this is a moment of positivity. You know what I mean?
Yes. So I can relate.
So there's that. Before we carry on, Patreon. If you want to support the podcast, we appreciate that. We have a link on the Patreon. We thank everybody who has so far helped us out and everyone who's thinking about helping us out. Even thank the people who haven't helped us out. We want to keep the show free, so that's still going to happen. I promised I will add some levels in the near future, and we'll add some bonus content, that kind of thing, and make it worth everyone's while and incentivize people, of course, you know, and as if our witty rapport isn't incentive enough, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear all this kind of talk.
Yeah.
You know? But you can still hear for free every week. But that's going on. We also got some feedback. It was actually from the Panger, I think I mentioned. You got the feedback that we should add a one-time PayPal donation for people who don't wish to do the Patreon, which I will take that to heart, Frank, and we will add that on there.
Okay.
On the site. I'll have that up. Not by this when this airs, because this is going to air as soon as we're done recording. It's going to air.
If I was going to donate, I would donate that way. But I'm not going to donate. But if I were, I would. I like things neat and simple that way.
I would send muffins.
Okay. Stale ones. You were re-gifting.
Yeah. Definitely not the sour cream coffee cake muffins.
Right.
Those ones are staying here. But we will do that. Meanwhile, there is an Amazon link on there. Still, I haven't, mostly because I'm lazy and Amazon hasn't fully fired me yet.
Okay.
So we're waiting to see how that happens. Maybe I can push it and see if they just get rid of me. This is my move on breaking up with the ladies when I was younger. Just continue to behave like a jerk until they get fed up and break up with me.
Okay, so it's like the ghosting strategy.
It's not really ghosting. Like, I would still hang out with them. I would say be a jerk, but really I'd just be myself. And they would, you know, they'd get fed up with that really quickly, and that would be that. So that's me and Amazon right now. So they're going to end up ghosting me is what's going to happen.
Got it.
All right. So thoughts. I wanted to actually ask your thoughts now that it's all this hot vaccine talk. What are your thoughts on the vaccine comparison shopping trend that's going on?
I don't really get into it. I'm just all about whatever's available.
I understand you don't get into it. That's why I asked you. Have you been talking to your colleagues, your friends, your cohort? A word that no one ever used until 8 months ago, by the way. Cohort.
Yeah, I feel like the rest of the world cares more about it than I do, but yeah, just I don't know. I'm pretty much just get what I get and move on. I guess it's because I'm not interested in reading everything about each individual one. The way I look at it is, if you ever, you know, get allergy medication or anything for that matter at a pharmacy, even over the counter stuff, like if you read the the label and the side effect warnings. They're a mile long for all of them. And so I can't imagine that this is any different with what's going on. And I think that if we're, you know, thinking that the one we got is like, oh yeah, this is the one and it's so much better and it has no side effects, we're kidding ourselves. Like, yes. You know, there. So that's kind of where I'm at. And some of it, I think, is just the PR cycle for the pharmaceutical companies. They're all going to have issues at some point, and some of it might be squashed by good PR firms, but ultimately I would say that they're all not going to be perfect serums of truth.
That's one angle. That's a very good point. I feel the same way, which is boring for conversation, but the other issue that that's not even my main issue. Like, I know a lot of people who are kind of, you know, hesitant because of one might present this or et cetera, which I understand. I kind of understand that part. Like, there's a value in being informed. However, I've had a few people kind of discuss and ask me what shot are you getting? What shot did you get? And I was hesitant to tell them. I was like, you know, I kind of don't want to talk about it. For the same reason as you, I'm like, it doesn't really matter to me, in terms of, you know, oh, did you get the Cadillac or did you get the, you know, the Honda Accord one? Because I feel like, because early on when like way back before vaccines were even a twinkle in anybody's eye, I was kind of crunching the numbers and sort of in my head, and I'm not an expert, so don't write this down, but I was of the opinion that a vaccine with a 50% efficacy rate would be a massive achievement and would do an awful lot to put out this fire. That's 50%. That's a 1 in 2 for the people like yourself, Adam, who can't do the math.
Okay. All right. Got it. I wrote it down too.
So that would be awesome. Imagine that. Like, obviously you'd like higher. Great. And so then when one came out and said it was 95 and it was, oh, whoa, can you believe it? And then another one came out and the lesser one, quote unquote, which I disagree with, but the lesser one, it was like, oh, it's 80% efficacy. And it's like, so immediately a number of people were like, oh, I don't want that one. It's like, well, that's not really how it works, guys. Like, I urge everybody to think on a macro level and buy Don's book. On a macro level and on a micro level. So if you're concerned about, like, if there's only one vaccine shot available, like not one kind, but one actual shot, and you have to go out into the world, yeah, well, maybe you want to get the 95% one to arm you better. But if we're talking about getting as many out to as many people as we can, I would much rather have the entire population have a 50% effective vaccine versus me having a 99%.
Right. Yeah.
You say right, but I hear a lot of people, our friends, in fact, talking about, well, no, they want the top one. And I was like, no, yeah. No. Here's what's happening. Giant forest fire threatening our town. Okay. So yeah, we want a whole bunch of the water bomber airplanes. We want a fleet of those, but we've got two of them. So everybody else, grab a hose, grab a bucket, whatever you can do. Let's get as many people on this and put this fire out. The end.
Got it. No. Okay. Great. Okay. Great. I got confused for a second. I thought this was a photography podcast.
Yeah, but taking pictures of fires.
Right. Fire's good. I like fire.
Plus, like, speaking of vaccine, like, I don't know about you, but I didn't really get the vaccine for me. I got it for everybody else, specifically my kids, you know? Like, I would like this fire to be put out for them. This isn't necessarily about me and what works the best for me.
I agree.
Okay.
Not for your kids specifically, but...
No, I know you don't like my kids. I get that. Okay, last thought. I want to hear your thoughts on... I don't know how it's working there. What are your thoughts on increased privileges for the vaccinated?
I don't really know what that... You'd have to explain to me what that looks like, but I just would encourage everyone to get it. I don't think we should necessarily go to the extent of like, oh, you can go, but you can. I don't know what that...
Well, no, because not everyone can get one just yet, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think it's we'd have to give that more time. Like, if it was clearly people deciding that they didn't want it, then that scenario, I think that it would likely come to that, where country might say, yeah, you can't come if you don't have the vaccine.
Right.
But again, if it's a time thing, because there's a lot of people that just haven't had the opportunity for, you know, reasons that are beyond their control, that's a totally different scenario. But I think at some point, if you're electively deciding you don't want to be vaccinated, I think that there's going to be rules for sure. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I would like everybody to get it. I'm on that side of the fence.
Yeah, that's not what I mean. What I'm asking you is, let's say, like, you know, like they're saying in Canada, for example, that everybody who wants one will be able to get one by the end of September, I think was the date. I expect that to move up a little bit. Like things, like I said, I'm very optimistic. But let's say, you know, meanwhile, you have the whole summer. Well, let's say in June, maybe you've got your second shot, 2 weeks out, you and your wife are both fully vaccinated. You have a couple of friends who live down the street who are fully vaccinated. Should you be allowed to have dinner with them at your house while the rest of the non-vaccinated people are not allowed to meet?
No, I'm fully fine with complying with the rules for everyone until this.
But what if those are the rules? What if the rules are, yeah, if you're vaccinated, you can go?
I don't think that's the way to go, but yeah, maybe it will. I don't really think it'll go that way. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. Why is that a bad? Why is that a bad thing?
Well, why do you think it's a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it should be allowed. And
good will come of that. And I don't think that necessarily the vaccine that again, if you give an inch, take a mile, I think that that will create sort of an illusion that being vaccinated makes you, you know, full proof, and that there's no way anything bad can happen here. So I don't like that idea. I would like everyone to be vaccinated and then the rules to change for everybody, as opposed to piecemealing this.
So you assume that once everybody's vaccinated, then they're bulletproof?
No, I just think that it would be a safer scenario to go that way than it would be to, all right, let's start doing this, you know, piece by piece. I feel like there's a recipe for disaster built in there based on what we've seen in the last year plus.
Okay.
I'm okay with waiting a little longer in terms of we've invested this much time. Doing that sounds bad right now, considering we still don't have much longitudinal data and really know how well anyone is truly protected, considering that we've got however many different variants out there. It just doesn't sound like a good plan to me. But
that's so when is the date where we can go back?
I don't have that for you, Al. I would like to know more.
No, but what is the level of safety that needs to happen for Adam to feel comfortable hanging with people?
I would like to see the hospitalization rate be at an acceptable level, which it is not here. It's at all-time highs. So when people are going to the hospital and there's risk of more people dying, I would like to say, doesn't sound like the best time to be opening up to, you know, little parties here and there. So no, I would like to see that's the part. We did this all in the first place to contain hospitalizations and deaths. And so that needs to fall below whatever the threshold is, but I'm going to say it has to be a lot lower than it currently is.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not concerned about hospitalizations? I can't imagine you guys are in a much better scenario.
No, we're probably in this. I'm the same. I honestly don't know. I do know. Like, I mean, I don't believe what's happening, what the news is telling us. I mean, that's a loaded thing to say, because it's not like they're making it up, but I do know they have a narrative. However, it's like when they say, oh yeah, well, much younger people are getting it. And I'm like, all right. However, you know, we have a friend of ours who is a nurse and a very logical, reasonable person. I've never known her to be a panicker or an embellisher or et cetera. And she says, yeah, people at the hospital, they are younger and they are sicker. Like, that's legit. She doesn't have numbers, but she says, yep, they are. That's how it is. That is really the truth. Now, whether it's what the news is telling you, I don't believe what the news is saying exactly, because I know they cherry pick, but the general consensus is, yep, they are younger and sicker. The end. Like, so I was like, yeah, that I'm in. However, if the idea is that, you know, they're saying that, look, if you're a vaccinated person or you have immunity from, let's say you had the disease and you know, you still have antibodies, et cetera, and you're at a zero risk and you want to get together, I don't see how that's going to contribute to hospitalization. Like, okay. I wouldn't expect if my wife and I and you and your wife are have both received the vaccine 2 weeks out of the second shot, and they say, yeah, you're good here. You're not 100%, but you went from a, you know, a 75% chance of catching the virus down to a, you know, a 1% chance, then us getting together is not going to contribute to those hospitalizations.
Right, but your kids aren't vaccinated, right?
Right.
And we're seeing a lot more younger people. So at what age range is allowed to get together now? Because I'm imagining you're not leaving your kids at home to be quarantined by themselves where you go to visit your neighbors down the street.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they still have until yesterday.
Too much we don't know. I think that it doesn't make sense based on the little we do know and all the new variables that are now in play. It just, to me, it's like, nope, not a good time to be doing this. We don't know enough. Younger people are getting it. Younger people are not getting vaccinated. Let's hold off here. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, all right, we've endured a lot. We can endure a little bit more. I don't like
the idea. Well, it's not a little bit more. That's the issue a little bit more.
But we don't know in terms of the information what we're going to learn in the next few months. Like, we know that more and more people are getting vaccinated. So we do know that, I know in Canada, I'm sure Germany similar, that we do expect the majority of the population who wants a vaccine to get it by this summer. So I feel like that's pretty standard in terms of country to country. I think there's a lot of countries that the same expectation based on the rates that they're vaccinating is to get the majority of their populations through once by the summer. So that is a little bit more time. Let's do that. And then let's make some educated decisions.
And then when the variants come,
Wait. I know that's your next point. But what we don't know yet, I know there's a lot of hearsay in the media about how well that the vaccines are protecting us against the variants. We don't know. Let's get more information about that so that we don't just start all over at the beginning again. So I think that the next few months anyways through the summer, which hopefully will help because people are outside and further apart naturally, hopefully the numbers will improve worldwide because of the same variables that improved last year during the summertime. Hopefully that's going to happen. And that gives us more time to be vaccinated. That gives us more time to learn about how well the vaccine is protecting us. So I only can think of positives coming around from giving it this summer and a little bit more time to learn. That's my stance. Yeah.
It would be great. I would love if the government would then publish numbers of what is acceptable. If they say, okay, we need hospitalization rates to be X, and if it's there, we can open up, and if it's not, but that's really not what's happening. Is my issue is the moving goalposts. It's constantly up there, you know. And then we're seeing that. We see that in Ontario with you know, the premier about to lose his job because he continues to do that. So I would love to someone just be a grown up and just say, hey. Look, at this point, if we don't have it down by then, well, I don't know what to tell you. You cannot, I don't know about you, but I don't know how your kids are doing. My kids are blowing up, and they no longer wish to live under this. And so if it's a matter of, well, this is your life now, I got some bad news. That's not how it's going to go. So
okay.
If it's a matter of, if they can put an end date and say, look, yeah, you're right. We'll get everybody vaccinated and we'll go from there. Awesome. So quit moving the goalposts, everybody. That's what I'm saying.
Got it.
All right. Reminder, monthly challenge. This is a photo show. Reminder, monthly challenge is vertical landscape. Put that on Instagram, hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. I didn't write it down this week. Hashtag hey hosers. And even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. And we'll check that out. And added bonus. This month, if selected, you have an option of allowing Adam's buddy to print your photo.
Right.
Put it on his wall. And
honor.
He, And, you will win a completely free two hoser t-shirt. Now, that's a brand new. You can have the original if you want, actually, but I'm finalizing the details on a new t-shirt.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So you've seen the prototype.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm outside right now, standing by my mailbox, just waiting for one to arrive. And I don't even know if it's been sent.
Uh-huh.
But that's my level of anticipation.
That's right. I might, now, based on that, I might change the design of the t-shirt to reflect your excitement level.
Okay.
I might have to change the wording to something about Adam and excitement.
I feel like I just designed. I'm looking at the new logo right here in a photo that my daughter took of me from a couple days ago. You see that?
Shoot anything interesting? Let's see what we're looking at here.
You're looking at a silhouette of a godlike photographer posed at Gary Point in Richmond, British Columbia.
Indeed. Now, was this 100% her doing?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of was helping her with some setting, so she composed.
I'm worried you don't know what 100% means.
Yeah, she didn't go full manual on the on the Fuji and sort out the details here, but I did give her the settings that would be required for a properly exposed silhouette photo, and then she composed and took the photo and told me what would look good. So I did the sideways profile with the camera held up and then we kind of worked it based on, you know, the leg position, because we wanted, you know, proper silhouette, right? Mm-hmm. We wanted to see the background and stuff. So it was a combo of me and her.
Now, was this in camera JPEG?
This is in camera. Yeah, there's no trickery here. Yeah.
I can tell because of the, I think it was because the file name that you sent, it looks like you just snapped this JPEG right in camera and uploaded it.
Yeah, I think I played with, you know, a little bit of the blues and the oranges and the sunset just to make it pop a bit, but that's all it was. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, is she a budding photographer? She has interest, or did you force her to this?
No, she wanted to do it. When I mentioned the vertical challenge for this month, she knows the friends, our family friends of ours, that are issuing the challenge for their house, so she wanted to participate. So we went to Gary Point with the idea that, you know, she wanted to take a photo for an entry. So that's what we were doing. And while we were there, and actually I posted her entry on the Adam Two Hosers. She didn't want it to be posted directly from her. I think there's a geek factor for grade 8 high school students that don't want to be openly participating in the Two Hosers photo challenge. I think that's a stigma. So she said, you posted, Dad, and then tag me, which is what I did. And so now that sort of absolves her from the full geekness of Two Hosers participation. Yeah.
That's what the Kardashians do, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So yeah, her entry's out there, and I have to say, I really like her entry, and I kind of wish I took it.
Have you taken yours yet?
I've taken a few options. I do like what I've got, but I'm not 100% convinced that for sure what I've taken is my entry. So, that's all I'm going to say. It's a little bit of it's up in the air still. I'm still thinking, like, you never know. I might come across a majestic waterfall in the next few days and might have something that's different. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, I do have something in the chamber. Is it in the chamber? No, it's not in the chamber. I have something in the
canister. In the film canister.
Okay, I have something in the canister, yeah.
What do you think I meant by canister?
I don't know.
I don't know. In the film, in the vault, in the...
Yeah, something in the vault. I think I like the vault.
You just didn't like the chamber. I understand chamber. Yeah, chamber's good, though. It's fine.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's what we did. So you see the photo. Silhouettes are fun. I like it. And having a cool background, like, just the sun's super low in this photo and it's lighting up you know, the foreground just enough, but it's staying just as a little bit of a rim on me, but you get the whole kind of beach and water sunset. Like I love, I should do silhouettes more because they're fun.
You should be the silhouette guy.
I feel like that should be like my website, the silhouette guy.
Yeah. I can't argue. It was the former nightclub in Richmond was called Silhouettes. Now that that's gone, that frees you up to be the silhouette guy.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That was my something interesting. And then we took some photos, but we'll save any of my entries for next week's monthly vertical landscape challenge.
Awesome.
Can you have more than one entry? That's the other thing I was wondering. Like, is this a unique scenario? Because we don't want to not put, like, let's say I've got three huge, amazing winners. Like, I don't want to deprive the wall, the space of a possible entry that could be, like, it's because his tastes might be different than mine, right? Am I allowed to put two or three in?
Yeah. Here's how it's going to go. I think that's an embarrassment of riches, Adam. The I would say anyone who wants to submit multiple can do so. I'm going to choose one to talk about on the show.
Okay.
But if friend X there decides he would like a different one that is submitted.
I think we're calling him Stan. Stan wants a different one.
Yeah. Stan X. Yeah. When he chooses a different one from a different person, then we will then, that's still eligible, we'll mention it on the show. We'll talk about it the following week.
Okay.
I won't talk about all of them, but I'll pick one, but you get the idea. Exactly what I just said and exactly the same as how I said it. That's how I would repeat myself.
Yeah.
There you go. Woodwork update, because I forgot. I told you last week I was just finishing up the bench/sofa that you couldn't figure out what it was. You couldn't decide. Remember I told you, he's like, what is a sofa or is it a bench? And I was like, well, it's a love seat, really.
Okay.
So I posted a photo. There it is. It's done.
So it looks like a two-seater. That's why we would call it. Yeah, definitely a love seat.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to get cushions for it. But that's why I would classify it more of a sofa/love seat than a bench.
Did you make it with a specific sized cushion in mind?
No.
Okay.
I made it with a specific sized ass in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no. Segue, no relation. My wife basically kind of laid out the what she would like. She wanted it a little bit deeper than normal. So this one's a little bit deeper because she wants to like kind of sit and put her legs up kind of thing. Okay. And she wanted it like the back tilted. You can see the back is, maybe you can't see. I didn't take it from that angle, but the back is reclined a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if recline means, does recline mean it's movable? Because this is not movable.
No, but it's angled.
It is angled. It's got a 15-degree angle. Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose it is movable, but just the one time. And then that's it. And then it's stuck there. But yeah, so that's what that is. And I included, so you can see the little splines in the front. That was what I teased a couple of weeks ago with my close-up shot was those splines. Mm-hmm. And then the next image of the leg/arm, that's actually where I'm most proud of. Look at the taper on that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so it's wider and then it's smaller at the bottom.
Yeah, that's what a taper is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you can tell me how to cut that, Adam, I'll be less impressed. I'll be more impressed
with it with a saw.
Thank you. Okay, you're giving away all my tricks. That's right. That's right. Well, cutting angles on a table saw is not doable unless you have a jig for it that you make, which I did.
Okay, jigsaw.
No. If I cut this with my jigsaw, it would not be nearly as straight. It would have been all over the map. It would have been like a jigsaw, in fact.
Okay, you cut it with an angle saw.
I got an angle saw out of the on Amazon under category of tools that don't exist. I got one of those. Yeah. So anyways, that's all. That's where I'm the I'm most happy is with that little taper, which I'm going to be tapering a lot more things. That's a very simple taper. That's a one dimension taper. I'm going to start making table legs that are tapered on all four sides.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we talking still about shooting anything interesting?
Yeah, I shot that.
Oh, okay. All right. And I wasn't sure what this fit under.
Good. Woodwork okay. update from earlier. And I shot okay. it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All just right. categorizing things in my brain for the show. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's yeah. All right. And then I went and shot some. We had a baseball home game last weekend. And this was when it was minus 40 degrees out for whatever reason. It was just miserable. As you can see, the guys in the dugout all dressed up in their jackets and whatnot. But this was a different angle for me because I don't even know what the corona rules are. If I'm allowed on the field or not on the field, I just didn't care. So I just showed up and we have no fans allowed. We still have games. The top league, the Bundesliga, still has games. But I don't know if it's a rule or if it's a courtesy, but all the players get tested the day before. They do a quick test, which isn't super accurate anyways, but I don't know. That's kind of the deal. And so they all get tested and come out. But so I'm allowed there. There's no spectators allowed, just the support staff, which is what I am. And so I shot this off the field from a different angle. And like, actually this is shot through the fence. And for whatever reason, my 70 to 200 still works on my 40D. That's the only, nice. Only camera it works on. And I still get good images. So that's what this was. This is the 70 to 200. And so I got just a couple shots. One of a guy hitting. And then another guy just getting in under the tag at home plate.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Yeah.
The hitting one's good. The hitting one's fine too. But I like the action of the catcher and... The jersey color could be different. Red against maroon. It's a bit weird. But yeah. Other than that, I would really... If one of them was wearing white, that would be even better. But no, I do like that action and the tag with the hand on the plate. Like, who was he safe or was he out?
He was safe.
Okay.
Yeah. Called did safe and was safe, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. That was to make like 12 to 3. So it wasn't a huge run. And that was the 3. That was the 3 that... end that they were on there.
Okay.
Yeah, the well normally it's the uniform convention is strange. As you know, usually you wear white uniforms at home and dark on the road. That's kind of how it goes. And but we don't do that. We have the one jersey and we wear white pants at home and gray on the road. Typically you wear gray pants on the road and a lot of teams don't bother. And so, you know, I guess maybe they're sour we don't wear white jerseys. I'm sour that they don't wear gray pants. So there's that.
Okay.
Fun fact, the catcher played, I used to play for a team called the Langley Blaze.
Okay.
The catcher in this play. Yeah. He's from Aldergrove. He's a dude who can hit. I'll tell you that. He actually homered. I got a picture of him homering earlier in the game, which I did not include because yeah, not on our team, but, yeah, so he's from your neck of the woods. Didn't you work with the Langley Blaze at one point?
A couple of different guys, yeah, coming yeah. up. They have, like, now I want to say they have, like, three different teams. They have a junior team and a junior team and then a development team. Like, so I lose track. But, yes, right. I have treated and I think even the coach at one point earlier in my days in Langley. So, yeah, I've treated some Langley Blazers.
Yeah. Possibly, you know him, maybe not, but this guy has a major problem in that he can't miss the ball with the bat. He's just Duke and rake. So there's that. All right. And then lastly, I did shoot a couple more. Maybe I'll include this in the topic. We'll include the last one in the topic. So there you go. That was anything interesting. Photo challenge. This week was balance the light. Are you still yes. there? Or have you fallen yeah. asleep?
No, I was just napping.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right, so what did this mean to you when I said balance the light?
I had no idea. Okay. I no clue. Was this meant to be supplementing light, or if we talked about it, I had forgotten. I even texted you, and you did not give me anything in the way of a response. So I was like, all right,
I did give you a response.
Open to interpretation.
Should I read our texts on the air? You asked, I responded, and then you were super confused, and I said, that's what you asked.
I just said balance the light, and then I said, was that in relation to something specific we were talking about, and then you did not give me any response.
Oh, yeah. Oh okay. I thought you were, okay.
I was trying to get some context for what you were going for. So it doesn't matter, because I did what I did, so we'll just go with that.
There's no going back now. So what did you do? Did you use a flash or any supplemental light at all?
No, none. Okay. Was I supposed to?
Well, I guess I could have been more specific then. I thought that was, it wasn't context to something we were talking about last week, but that was a while ago. We did record early, and now we're recording late, so there is an extended amount of time. To be fair, I'm not being facetious. I promise. I hate that I have to preface this by saying I'm not being facetious, but I'm really not ripping on you. And so what we were forget how we were talking about it, but this was a situation of. I was saying, hey, we should try to get a good balance of light, like getting existing light, whether it's balancing existing with supplemental light. How do you get that balance just right? So with that, yours is nice.
I feel like the light in my photo is very balanced.
It is very balanced. Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
Well, it's not tipping either direction.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking. It was the perfect time of day. My photo was shot like, you know, just before sunset, like the last.
Well, this is essentially you turning around, like asking your daughter to get out of the way from her, the one that she shot at you, the silhouette.
Yeah.
And then you just turn a shot. This is you shooting the other direction is my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure is. Like yeah. 20 feet behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're bang on. And like that's. The beauty of this time of day is there's just enough light to create perfect kind of evenness across the foreground and background. So, ta-da, balanced.
Well, that's okay, but you did achieve it. Not what I was talking about, but you definitely achieved that by shooting at the right time of day, and that's a huge key. I mean, that's probably the number one takeaway that, you know, when people ask, hey, well, how do you take good photos? It's like, well, hey, put yourself in a good position. Be the right time of day and then have something nice to point it at, like in this case. One of my favorite parts about shooting here, where you are at that time of day is like you can shoot the blue that way, turn around and shoot the orange like that quickly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all happening at once. And so if you shoot this at noon, yeah, it's going to not be balanced at all.
Well, and my daughter's photo of Gary Point that she took for the vertical landscape, you get the blue and the orange. You shoot it at a sort of a halfway split angle, which is what mm-hmm. she did, and you get blue and orange. So yeah, it is pretty awesome. And just in terms of, okay, over here, I get the orange, the blue, I can split the difference and go blue and orange. Like it's just so great this time of day.
Nice.
So that's the fishing needle, like for the, I don't know, in the podcast history, the 42nd time, but I love it. And I just, it gives you something to kind of like, if you're not shooting a person, like, which is what I kind of typically like to shoot. It just gives you something to anchor your image around. Right. So I do like the fishing needle monument. And even with the orangey light that's hitting it, it just looks cool. So wide angle, which I don't shoot a lot with, up close, again, just recently, just enjoying doing this again, the wide angle 17, whatever it is to 40 F4 lens that I have, and get close and interesting angle. So there's people sitting on the ledge, like just camera right, which is why mm-hmm. I went with this sort of like a 3/4 of the monument, and I just really liked it. So this is a simple in camera with a little bit of playing with the blue saturation shot. The
end. Now, that's a great spot to go and like sit, go buy ice cream and sit there.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, kind of what they were doing. The people,
if you have like $50 for ice cream.
yeah. You have to take it alone for the ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. If you think I'm joking, try it. It's actually, I've done it before with my daughter and stuff, and it is excellent. It's an excellent spot, and excellent ice cream. So I highly recommend doing it. Just prepare yourself ahead of time. I do love that spot. Maybe I'll post a photo of me and my daughter from like 7-8 years ago, just for context. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, Adam.
And if you had two people, like if I had asked permission to take the photo of the two people included in this image, it probably would have been even better, just because, again, the light on them is perfect as well. Didn't feel like asking. And so therefore you get what you get, podcast world. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. So my balanced light is my son with the bow and arrow.
You even left the umbrella in the shot.
Indeed. I was balancing the light.
Yeah, you were.
You know what I wasn't balancing?
The flash.
Wasn't balancing the flash, that's for sure.
It fell over?
Oh, did it ever. I include this one. This was not the intent. This was not the photo. This is not the photo I was taking. This was the setup photo of, okay, let's get this set up. Start like balancing the light. So, you know, take a shot, a test shot, going to move the flash. Like that's the umbrella you're looking at right there.
Mm-hmm.
Move it in, you know, move it back a little bit according to taste, because you're right, it's a little bit bright. That's not how I would balance it. And asked my daughter, hey, can you do me a favor? It's a little bit breezy today. Can you just come over here and hold this, the flash, hold the light stand so it doesn't blow over?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you betcha, Daddy. Yes, I can. Until I take this one shot, the setup shot, and then she needs to get involved and give him some posing tips, walks over, and let's go. And, of course, the wind knocked it over.
Did it survive?
Did not survive. The flash did not survive.
Oh, no.
No, there was a momentum issue. There was a, you know how like in, let's say in hockey or whatever, like if you fall over backwards, it's not hitting your head that's the problem. It's you're hitting your ice. Hitting the ice with your shoulders and then your head whipping back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. And that's what happened here. So it fell forward. It was fine, but it landed on the umbrella, which survived. But the momentum of the flash tipping forward snapped it off at the base. Didn't just snap the base off, snapped the entire bottom of the flash off.
Oh no.
Snapped some wires, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, dear. Which flash is this?
My cheapest one.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
I still threw it a good distance. I was pretty angry because it wasn't like I gave my daughter complicated instructions.
Right.
It was very simple. Sit here and hold this. You know, hey, neck down. And ultimately, that's on me because she wanted to help, and I should have been more specific and not relied solely upon her. I should have had a backup system in place. And so I wasn't really mad at her eventually.
Yeah. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I did almost this exact same thing when I did the baseball shoot. I should say I almost, in that it didn't have an umbrella on it, but I did have my flash up on a light stand, like one of my 430 EX2. So my good
flashes.
Way more
expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess I didn't tighten it down well enough, just the flash part. So without even having an umbrella or knocking the light stand over, after I made some adjustments on the flash, I guess it was just a little loose and it literally fell from 8.5 feet high directly down into the dirt of the baseball field.
Oh, like not even the grass?
No, not even the grass. The dirt bounced, hit so hard that all the batteries popped out and everything. It was covered in red dirt and dust. Put the batteries back in, worked fine. Not an issue with it at all.
Nice.
Yet.
Yeah, oh no, I think you're going to be okay. Like that's one of those situations where they're pretty durable. And this was one of my Nikon SB25. I have a SB24, had an SB25, a couple of 26s, but the 25 is the version, like it's very old. It's not my best flash. It's one of the two flashes I take out when I don't mind dropping them.
Right.
I think I got it used for $20. So from a standpoint of money, it wasn't a big deal. It's just adding on to everything else that seems to be breaking this month. You know, the lens go down last week and then this happens. And at some point I'm just going to get rid of whatever I have left and just draw pictures because it's cheaper.
Right. Yeah.
So it wasn't the end of the world. I still have a bunch more, but I wasn't exactly happy. It didn't make me feel good. And plus, you know, so my wife said, oh, well, like, did you get the shot? And I said, no, but I'm using it now. Like this, right. This, as tribute to the last time this flash ever fired.
Right. Yeah. I think it deserved that much.
Yeah. So it's made in probably in the late 70s, early, whenever the 80s. I'm not sure when that flash came out. Made it this long. So afterwards, I want everybody to go out and just pour one out for this flash. All right. SB25. We hardly knew you. I promise you, this would have been a much cooler photo, even though Captain America doesn't really do the bow and arrow. That's Hawkeye, but who cares? There was a much better photo ready to go.
Okay.
All okay. Right. Topic this week is going to be real quick because you're bored of me.
Yeah.
It was.
I thought the topic was your views on coronavirus.
No, not my views. It was a discussion. It was hey, what do you think?
Right.
As well. But just a little bit about balance, because I did shoot something else this week that also qualifies. You can see I posted, I did shoot some merchandise shots for my baseball team. The lady in charge said, hey, we have a couple things we want to sell. We want some promotional deal. Can you shoot some photos of the merch? I said, yeah, no problem. So she sent over her two kids. That's brother and sister team. And they both play on the top baseball team and the softball team. And they said, yeah, come on over and we'll shoot all the different things. Just a white background's fine. Well, the issue is my photo studio is currently a drum studio for my son. So there's really nowhere to shoot. I don't want to move the whole drum kit.
Right.
Plus, there are rules on who can come to your house, et cetera, because of the aforementioned corona. So we, obviously I want to honor that and I want to make sure everyone stays outside. So we shot white background outside.
Mm.
You ever done that?
I've done green screen outside. I haven't done white background outside, but I'm sure it poses some of the same challenges.
And first of all, what would those challenges be?
Well, are you using paper or what are you using?
I used paper, yes.
Yeah. So paper's probably better, but there's a wind variable that can be definitely a problem.
You say variable, there's a breeze variable.
Yeah. And also on top of that, you've got, you know, a changing lighting situation as well. So whether or not you had decided to include some ambient or you're trying to kill the ambient, then you really have to find a shaded place. And so, yeah, depending on your where you're planning to shoot it, there's a lot of moving parts in white background outside that are hard to control.
Indeed. And so in this case, I was able to get the white background right up against the house, first of all. So the breeze wasn't eliminated, but it was minimized. And so I was never worried about the thing blowing over as I would be if I had a big giant paper roll out in the open. I would be concerned that it would blow over. I mean, even on a light breeze, it's and sandbag, et cetera.
I had to sandbag it and get people to hold it when I did this at the ball field with a green screen. Like, it just absolutely, it's up too high, and it's just a little breeze kind of tips the whole thing over.
And was one of those people my daughter? Was she very helpful holding it?
Yeah, yeah. She was holding both sides at once, so that was probably my mistake.
In the car with a comic book. So that was nice. The second thing was that where we were shooting, it was later in the evening. So there's still quite a bit of ambient light, but it was the shady side of the house. So I was afforded that luxury. So that at least as where they were standing, if they were to move forward 3 centimeters, they would be in the sunlight. And so, but just where they were standing, I had enough to work with, which I would have liked more. But like, as you know, like when you're shooting one person, it's fine. But the further you move away from the white background, yes, it's easier to light that background, but that background, you know, becomes effectively smaller, you know, as you move further away from it. And so now you're shooting against white background and some other stuff that you have to Photoshop out later.
Right.
Which I don't like to do. So I like to try to keep it in that one range. So that's what I did. So I still lit this. This is an example of balancing the ambient, because normally when you shoot white background like this, you want to kill all the ambient, right?
Right.
Well, that's easy in the studio. Outside, there's still enough ambient light, even on the shady side of the house, that at 1/160th of a second, which is the max sync speed you're going to get on the 5D Mark III, and at, I think I had it like, it was ISO 100, probably at an F, I think it was a F8, possibly a 5.6, which is kind of where you need to be to get flash power. That was the best I could do to wrangle the ambient. I couldn't kill it. I couldn't, like, there's no way at those settings I could eliminate the ambient. So what I could do would be to slightly underexpose it.
Right.
Which is how I ended up balancing it. So I still wanted to light the white background. I didn't want to have everything just be sort of a, you know, as is an ambient light photographer with a white background. That wasn't going to work in this case. So I still wanted to light the subjects with an umbrella in the front. And then two flashes on the background. But even there, I still needed to use essentially, I think it was full power on the umbrella and probably quarter power on the bare flashes just to get the exposure I needed.
Right. Yeah. No, they look good though. Turned out well. You wouldn't know that it was done outside.
No, that was the goal. I mean, because obviously there was a little Photoshop involved though, unfortunately, because I was prepped for a single person to come and I didn't realize they were doing group shots. So there's one of the shot of the two of them and my son modeling the Hawks gear that you can't really buy online. Mm-hmm. But I think that one was okay. And there's my son standing on a stool I made. Mm-hmm. And then Luca on the left, I gave him the Keanu trick where he kind of wide legs it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of standing a little bit broad just to come down a little bit and kind of even the heights out. But even then, I think that one I got everybody in the background, that was fine. But the one of Luca and the sister, I had to add white in on the bottom because I was getting some pavement there.
Got it.
Which is patio.
Because it's a you know, you're showing their legs as well in this one.
Yeah, I didn't roll the whole white, like I didn't roll the white background all the way down. That would have just ruined it. They would have been, you know, standing on it and outside and whatnot. So I just kind of had it down to the ground and then left the ground as the patio, right? Mm-hmm. So I then had to do that. But the one thing I've never had to do before is I actually had to do a little bit of color dodging in Photoshop to get a nice even white background.
Got it.
Because of the ambient light would sort of play tricks on you, or the wind would blow it a little bit and sort of change the angle. So down low, it might be like a little bit closer to gray.
Right.
But I found that using the dodge tool and selecting just the highlights, it would actually do a very good job of edge detection. So for the most part, I could just lighten up the background without lightening up the subject.
Got it.
And that's how I balance that light. So when you go out, how often do you shoot with a flash outside these days?
Outside, what was the last part?
These days. I noticed mine has plummeted
in the last year. A lot. Me either. I did it for the photo shoot only because I had specific intentions. But otherwise, I don't just kind of use flash outside. I try to just go with the ambient.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. Lazy.
Laziness.
I don't know. It's portability. It's what you want to bring. Especially if I don't have something specific in mind, I would just rather use the existing light. But if I have a specific photo in mind, different altogether. I don't want to carry it just for the sake of carrying it in the hopes that maybe I'll use it. Right. That's where my thinking is.
Yeah. Mine is that is laziness as well. I wouldn't say laziness, but I think it's a return on investment when you know that your kids really aren't going to give you, like, you're going to lug that around, you're going to set it all up, and they're going to give you 4 seconds. And if you don't get it right the first time, well, you might as well just tip it over and smash it, which we did.
Right.
And so that's kind of why I haven't done a lot of it, which is too bad because it really does add a lot. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to balance the light, especially to make it look like it's not lit. Like that was kind of the goal. That was my goal with the bow and arrow shot was going to be, had I had three more seconds, it was going to be a nice shot that you wouldn't even know. Like I put a half CTO on it. So the sunlight's coming from the right. I was going to angle myself, so it was just kind of a nicely balanced. It looked nice, but it didn't look lit, but it didn't look not lit. You couldn't tell. That was the goal, and which I think I achieved with the white background. I mean, it does look lit, but doesn't. But you would never know it's outside, as you said.
Right.
Balanced. Okay. Right. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge. That is vertical landscape. Hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even do. But come on, take. Should we start from the top, Adam? Top of the show.
No, you're good.
Just edit it. Okay. Even better, do both of those things and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that one next week. Website Adam, just people go to mine at alanaverage.com, but
that's right. Still,
they can find you on the Instagram.
Sure. Adam Two
and
Hosers.
And your daughter. Oh, sorry, just go ahead. I stepped on it.
No. Adam Two Hosers and her entry, if you want to see it, is also there.
I love that. The sneaking it in on your her dad's Instagram account. Why?
Yeah.
Couldn't she just have a burner account?
She should. That was our next thought. Burner account. Yeah. I didn't want to teach her about burner anything. So yeah.
Oh come on! Like she knows less about the internet than you.
That's a good point.
She's got burner accounts on TikTok, and the fact that you know what TikTok is means they're onto something else.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, that's it for this week. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that is it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.